Now she's back on this path. So now then, the devils have no claim to her up there, do they, Bill? Not anymore. So now then, I can claim the redemption from the curse. I can knock out these devils of hell, command them to leave in the name of Jesus, and they have to go away. Because the king's standing right there saying, well, my son's doing exactly what I said in my word. And so the devils go away, and little Lauren gets healed. And she walks out of here with no headaches, no stomach problems, no sleeping problems, and 3 weeks later can come forward and say, I have kept myself clean and pure, and in tears stand right here and tell you all what Jesus has done for her in the last 3 weeks. Amen. I love it when he does that for somebody, don't you? Isn't God good?
Yes.
You know? He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. We all have this freedom if we know it and if we're led by the Spirit. But if we're not led by the Spirit, you don't live in freedom. You live in bondage. Bondage. 7 and 8. Let's see what it says there. And I have been chosen, this is the absolute truth, as a preacher and apostle to teach the Gentiles about faith and truth. God calls lots of men to be his teachers and his apostles, you know, to teach his word. Now, if God called you to do something, will he empower you to do what he's called you to do? Yes, he absolutely will. He absolutely will empower you. So, wherever you assemble, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Now, I remember when I was in the Baptist church up here in Justin, years ago. One day I was in a Sunday school class and I read that and I thought, I wonder how many times I've read that. He said, I want men to pray with what? I thought, Lord, I ain't never seen nobody in a Baptist church. Never have I ever seen anybody pray and raise their hands. That means we must not have any holy hands in the church. I said, Lord, I believe with all my heart I'm walking in as holy a place as I know how. I'm not living in any kind of sin or nothing. I'm walking obedient to your word. So I always sat on the front row because that little church, you know, about this size, but it was usually full on Sunday morning. And so when I come in late in my Sunday school class, there's only one seat left on the front. So I had to go to the only row open. Nobody sat on the front row. I guess they're afraid the preacher would spit on them or something. I don't know what the deal was. But I always had to sit on the front row. Nobody in front of me, everybody's behind me. Well, that morning after I'd read that in the Word and we started praying, we started singing and praying. I mean, the Holy Spirit's working on me now. The Spirit said, you know, your hands are holy, lift them up. And I'm saying, God, if I lift my hands up, everybody's going to think I'm a fool. And so I kind of look around, you know, on both sides. Ain't nobody else got their hands up. And I say, oh, God, Lord, I can't do this. Now then, it's come down to the wire. The Spirit is driving me. I read the scripture where I'm supposed to lift up holy hands and pray. So I get real bold and lift one about this high. I mean, you got a river. I'm raised in a Baptist church. Nobody ever done this. So the next Sunday, I get both of them up about this high in front of me where nobody could see it. Can you all associate with this? And so little by little, and finally one Sunday, the Holy Spirit said, okay, it's now or never. Get them up. Okay, God, we start praying. I raise both hands up. And I think, oh, I wonder what they think about me. And the Lord says, I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm a fool. And you know what the Lord said? He said, I made my son look like a fool for all of you. You keep those hands up there. I made my son look like a fool on that cross for every one of you. And now then you're ashamed to hold your hands up in front of a bunch of supposedly believers. He said, get them up there. Keep them up. So from that day forward, I had no problem. It didn't make any difference where I was. And then one day, and we'd moved over to the new church. We built that big new church. And of course, I still sat on the front row pretty close to the front. And when we start to sing in praise, now we're just singing in praise. I'm up there doing this. One day I was down here at the post office. A little lady walked in. She said, oh, Mr. Scrivener, how are you doing today? And she grabbed my hand, shook it, and I said, ma'am, you called me by name. I said, I don't know you. And she said, oh, I know you. I said, well, how do you know me? She said, from the First Baptist Church. I said, well, how come I'd never seen you? Well, she said, we've only been going there about 3 or 4 months. But she said, I see you up there all the time. I said, well, how do you know me? She said, I asked one day who you were. And so somebody told me. And I said, well, why did you ask? She said, my 10-year-old son and I, we were in church one day, and she said, my son looked up at me one day and said, Mama, well, what's wrong with that man up there on the front? And she said, what do you mean? He said, well, when we sing and we pray, he always got his hands up. I said, nobody else is doing that. She said, I told him, I said, well, I guess maybe he loves Jesus more than the rest of us. And so she said, I just left it at that, and we went back to singing. Said, in a minute, I felt his little hands go up right beside me. And she said, my son looked over at you, and you got your hands up, and here you're a great, big, tall man. And he's a little 10-year-old. He said, if that's what happens when you love Jesus, Mama, I think I better raise mine too, because I love Jesus. See, you don't realize what kind of an example you are, do you? The 10-year-olds are watching you. I'd much rather a 10-year-old look at me and say, that's my hero. Amen. Who is a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? I don't know, but Pastor Thurman, he loved Jesus. He's my hero. Amen. Is that the way you'd like to be known? Amen. Yeah. You want your grandbabies to say, look at Grandma. I know Grandma loves Jesus. Every time we go over, she's always praying or got something to say about Jesus. Is that the way we should be?
Amen.
Yeah. I get tickled like the other day when somebody asked, a preacher asked Little John, is your daddy a pilot? Little John said, no, my daddy's the captain. He's seen his daddy sit in the front of that airplane with me so many times. As far as he's concerned, his daddy's a captain. And that's good, isn't it? Praise God. That's the way every little boy ought to think about his daddy. He's my captain. Do you agree with that? I just thought that was so neat. My daddy's the captain. Praise the Lord. Well, he is. He's a captain. In his son's eyes, verse 9 and 10. Holy hands raised. And I want women... Uh-oh. We talked about the guys now. Now we have to talk about the girls a little bit. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair. In other words, the woman that walked in that had the bikini on that I told you about, she probably wasn't a Christian. I mean, that was a little tiny bikini that this woman walked right up to TSA. I mean, little thing. Goodness gracious. And the little thing over her breast was about that big around, looked like. That's all it covered. She's nearly naked. Completely. Didn't leave nothing to your imagination. Absolutely nothing. I thought, wow. She hadn't read this if she's a Christian, has she? And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing. No woman in church should ever wear a dress that if she leans over, you can see all the way to the navel. Some do. I remember James Robinson when he was a young man. Yeah, I believe it was James Robinson, one of the preachers. It's either him or Rod Parsley. I forget which one it was, but one of them. Standing up here preaching one day, and they stopped and said, you know, some of you women down here on the front row, big churches. James spoke 4,000 or 5,000 people at a time when he spoke. He said, you women down here on the front rows, y'all going to have to wear something else. He said, I'm still a man, and when I look out there and y'all are sitting there with your legs spread out, he said, I can see all the way to your crotch. I bet a lot of women snap shut, don't you? But see, women don't think. They don't think. They're sitting there like that little girl down at the airport the other day when I went down there. That little girl, when she walked by me, I guarantee her skirt was so short you could see the bottom of the cheeks of her bottom with her skirt on. I never seen a skirt that short. And she was carrying a pillow. And she sat down right in front of me with the pillow laying in her lap. I let down the book I was reading and looked across and I said, young lady, what do you put that pillow in your lap for? She said, but, well, I have to cover myself up. I said, if you'd wear a dress, you wouldn't have to put that pillow there. I said, young lady, let me tell you something. I said, you're obviously a young woman, maybe 20. I couldn't believe she could be over 20. I said, you don't have a clue yet what turns a man on. I said, a man's turned on by what he sees. That's the way God made him. I said, so if you dress like that and you're showing your physical parts to the world, there's going to be some young boy think you're advertising, and when he catches you in the dark, he's going to knock you out and rape you. I said, he might even murder you. I said, that fella ain't going to do you no good. I said, you know, I would suggest that next time you travel, you wear something that goes at least to your knees. And she got up and walked off. At least I told her. How's a woman supposed to dress? Modestly. She's supposed to cover up everything she's got. And I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothing and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing gold or pearls or expensive clothes. But do girls do that? Oh, sure. Absolutely, they do. Even girls in the church, you know. Some men even do. I never forget the time the guy that had a fancy suit on, I was talking to him, and he was waiting for me to say something. I guess it was the first time he'd ever wore it. And he said, Thurman, how do you like my new suit? I looked at him and said, well, it's okay, you know. And he said, I forgot what name he quoted to me. He said, you ever ever heard of this? I said, no. He said, it's tailor-made by these people. I said, so? He said, it's $5,000. So I reached over and opened mine. I said, J.C. Penney, $79.99. I ain't impressed. I ain't impressed by your $5,000 suit. You know, I could care less what you pay for it. Just make sure you got some clothes on. I don't care what you paid for it. I'm not trying to be better than nobody. And if I got something on that costs a lot of money, don't let nobody say this coat or this suit or this pants, whatever, costs $1,000. Because I won't wear it again if you do. I ain't going to wear expensive clothes. I'm not here to impress people with my clothes. It says here, for women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by the good things they do. Cheryl, to me, is making herself attractive by all these children she's helping for Christmas. She's been out shopping every night. I mean, she goes out and buys a carload of stuff and comes in and then organizes it and stays up till... In fact, during the 2 or 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas, I almost forget I have a wife. You're busy. She is about the King's work.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, I Made My Son Look Like a Fool for All of You, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.